Okay, before we even get much into conversations, you want to open up with a song?
Sure, we can do that. We are from Virginia, the state of Virginia, and we live in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, which is between the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Allegheny Mountains, and we live up close to the foothills of the Alleghenies. And this is a song about looking onto those beautiful old dark hills, as we call them in this song. One.
Take the old familiar view, those faithful confidants of stone, true friends I've never known. These old dark hills on which sore eyes can rest, these old
Robin and Linda Williams. Linda on banjo, Robin on guitar. So, Linda, you were born in Alabama.
Born in Alabama, and as Robin says, I've taken pills for it, and it's hardly noticeable anymore. But I went to high school and college up in Michigan, so I don't have much of that Alabama accent left. But I'm born and spent my early years in Anniston, Alabama.
And you were teaching school up there.
I was
there
teaching
in
school. I went to Michigan. My folks moved to Michigan, and I went to high school and college up there and was teaching school in Michigan when we met.
Yep. Yeah, tell us about that fateful day when you
It was an open stage, actually. You know, Linda and I both brought our guitars to the same open stage down in South Carolina. That's where I grew up, in South Carolina, and her folks had retired down there or had moved down there. They actually had not retired. So You know how those open stages are. If you're a musician, you have your guitar, you just show up there and sign your name on a list and get to sing. And so I was singing when Linda came in, and then I stayed around and watched her. And so we ended up talking by the bar. And so I decided, well, you know, let's get together. So the next day we got together and traded songs, and that was the beginning of the whole thing. That was 43 years ago. We just stayed in touch for 2 years before we got married, and then
the harmonies between the two of you knock you out?
Well, actually, you know, it started pretty early. It started pretty early. It really did. It was in Nashville. We were living in Nashville that we really more or less got it together. I mean
the harmonies when you sang together.
Oh yeah.
And we
knew there was something there, but we didn't really sit down and work hard at it until we got to Nashville. And then
Robin was actually a musician, and he was on the road a lot, and I was teaching school, but he'd come visit me whenever he was had a few days off and followed me down to Nashville, like you said. And then we noticed right away. I was kind of a natural harmony singer. I'd grown up singing in choirs and school stuff, and then started singing on my own some. But I was an alto or second soprano or whatever, and so I always sang the harmony part. I've always heard it really naturally. And he was a good lead singer, and so I could just fit right into whatever he was doing. And then as the years went by, I started singing lead, and he could fit right into whatever I was doing. So
I became the harmony
It worked
singer.
Out just fine.
That's the way it should be. You know? So do both of you come from or not families of music makers?
Well, not really. My mother played a little piano, but there was always a lot of singing in the house.
My mother played a little piano. My dad loved music and listened to a lot of music. My brother is a really good musician, and he and I sort of grew up, first he played drums and I played piano, and I'm sure we drove everybody crazy with that. But then we both started playing guitars in the early 60s, you know, when everybody did. So anyway, that's how we came along.
And then you made your way to Minnesota.
Well, we did. I'd made some contacts in Minnesota when I was in my travels. And then Linda and I teamed up, and we toured together for about a year, and then decided to try to get a record label. And sent a bunch of demos out and we got a record label in Minneapolis. So we went out there, and through my contacts there and through the contacts we made through the recording, we ended up meeting Garrison Keillor. And the Prairie Home Companion started becoming a part of our lives. It was, in those days, it was just starting. He had been on the air about a year, and it was just regional radio, then Minnesota Public Radio. But we kept in touch. We kept coming through there about once a year. And by the time he went national in 1980, the Prairie Home Companion, well, we had known him for a while, and he had decided that we were the kind of people that he wanted around for his show some. So that began, you know, it's been almost a 40-year relationship.
Yeah, I didn't realize it went back that far with Prairie Home.
Yeah, yeah, it's been almost.
You know, we've never been regular weekly people, but we've always played the show several times a year and done a lot of touring, with them. Been here to Albuquerque, played out there at the Sandia Casino one time, and stayed in a lovely place that had a big lavender farm next to it. I remember that. But, so we've been all over this country and over into Europe with him and
yeah, that clearly did a lot for you.
Oh,
yeah,
career. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's been a...
You know, and the thing about it, what I would say about that is that, yes, it has given us some name recognition, because he does go out to 4 million people a week. But that having been said, it took a long time. When you say it took a long time before people really started recognizing our name. And what I would think more than anything else that we got from Garrison is just the ability to see what he does, see how hard you have to work at being an artist. And he was the one who really influenced us and made us realize that if we were going to do this, live this dream here, that we better take it seriously and not wasting any time and work hard at it. And that was one of the, that we got that from Garrison.
It's been very, and also she's been very encouraging the whole time. So,
and it's really, you know, not necessarily incredibly rare, but it's really beautiful of how you stayed so connected to your roots.
It's what we do, you know what I mean? Yeah, we love all kinds of music. Right. We love blues and we love, regional music. I mean, come in here and hear in the Spanish and the Tex-Mex and all the, you know, all of that influence. And we love Cajun music. We love British Isles music. You know, we love some rock and roll. We're big Bruce Springsteen fans. And anybody that, we like good music is what we try to say. But, this is what we feel kind of honest approach to it. And we do write, a lot of our material that we perform on stage. And so it's within that genre and all those influences, I think, come together to produce something that's hopefully, somewhat unique, you know.
So. How about another tune?
All right. Well, we'll do you a song. We wrote this song. It's just kind of a favorite, so we thought we'd do it to maybe something people would like to hear, a song that we wrote after our 32nd wedding anniversary when we gave each other, that's an important anniversary, isn't it, Robin?
It's an important anniversary, but the main thing is that we gave each other a present that caused an argument.
That's right, and we got into a big fight.
And then we, so it's one of these awful fights that couples get into, and then the next day we ended up writing a song kind of about that. So
here's
a tune called For Better or Worse.
For Better or Worse. Married couples out there who are dug in the trenches of marriage.
So this is what music therapy is all about.
This is what music therapy is all about.
All right. A 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't wanna get out of bed. I think I'll hide under the covers instead. 'Cause we didn't settle things last night. Now we're both still mad and it's getting light.
For better or worse, that's what we said. Standing in the church when we were wed. We didn't really understand those vows, but buddy, we know what they mean now. For better or worse, for better or worse, we slam doors, we shout and curse. It's such a struggle to make things work, but we love each other, for better or worse. We love each other, for better or worse.
Oh, well, last night we went round and round, covering the same old ground. All round up, a blister in the air, acting tough and getting nowhere. Well, it's time to make things right, or else keep having the same old fight. We can't stay stuck in a rut, we gotta get out so we can make up.
For better or worse, for better or worse, we slam doors, we shout and curse. It's such a struggle to make things work, but we love each other, for better or worse. We love each other, for better or worse.
Well, the ties that bind, we gotta make them strong if we wanna take the long road home.
A true blue trust and faith, we're gonna need them every day. Stiff-necked pride is no good friend. It makes you break when you just need to bend. That's good advice, well now go use it. Get out of bed and face the music. For better or worse, for better or worse, we slam doors, we shout and curse. It's worth the struggle to make things work, 'cause we love each other, for better or worse. We love each other, for better or worse. Yeah, yeah, we love each other, for better or worse. We love each other, for better or worse.
What a great tune to write after fighting after your 32nd anniversary.
Well, it's
a little humor, you know.
Yeah. That's Linda and Robin Williams, and they're going to be performing tomorrow night. And that's Thursday evening, August 14th, at the Albuquerque Biopark. Begins at 7 o'clock. The address is 2601 Central Northwest. Well,
the secret to it all is humor there, Carol.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. To get you through, you know, that's
can,
right.
If we can keep that, there's hope for our marriage, you know. So, but we never take it for granted. 41 years, excuse me. It just seems like 43.
We've had a lovely week. We were up in Alamosa, Colorado, and have friends that that are from Albuquerque that we knew the man of this couple from New York, and he moved out here years and years ago and has a place up about 2 hours north of here, and just took a lovely, lovely walk yesterday through such green. He had rain, and it was just so green, and these little ravines and these mountains that we were walking through with all these wildflowers. And it's a beautiful time of year when you get some rain. At least it is back home too. And we'll do you a song here from we wrote about a green summer. Back a while, it's from our new record, which is called Back 40. And what we did was went back and looked at some songs that we'd kind of lost over the years and gave them a polish up, new look. Key of D, we're trying to get to.
Yeah, we're trying to wrangle these instruments. They've been sitting in the car for 3 hours, and now they're in the air conditioning in there.
Well, this is about our little town, our little village of Middlebrook, Virginia, and we'll tack on a little waltz at the end. Shall we do the waltz?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. One, two, three, four. Far off in the by and by, I see a traveler in the sky. But my dreams do not take wings, for I'm captive to familiar things in this world of mine. In the green summertime, on a gravel country road, by the bed of the old railroad, the dust follows turning wheels and blows away across the fields in this world of mine. In the green summertime, and though I know them all too well, and I have heard all they have to tell, my steps will always walk this ground. To these old friends I am bound, and on the streets of my little town, the moonlight comes streaming down. The dead wait in their graves for the Lord their souls to save in this world of mine. In the green summertime, by and by, I see a traveler in the sky. But my dreams do not take wings, for I'm captive to familiar things in this world of mine. In the green
summertime. In the green summertime,
how pretty is that? That's beautiful.
It's the Middlebrook Waltz.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you like that.
Linda and Robin Williams. So when was, there have been quite a few people, artists who have covered your tunes.
Right.
Emmylou Harris and Kathy Mattea,
right. Mm-hmm.
Mary Chapin Carpenter. I'm sure the list goes on. When was the first time that you know of that somebody did that? And I wonder, how did that feel? Were you young artists at that point?
Well, I'm not sure that we were young. I'm trying to think when the first one. It might have been a woman named Holly Neer who recorded one of our tunes back in the... I'm so glad you recognize the name Holly Neer.
Absolutely.
She's a wonderful, wonderful singer. And
she was a big name performer in the women's movement.
Yes, that's exactly right. Right. And she recorded one of our songs. That would have been probably in the early 80s. And, Carol, the thing about it is that we write really from a personal point of view. And so when we find someone else that see something in our songs that makes them want to record it. Well, that was the overwhelming feeling that I had then, the overwhelming feeling of being grateful that there was something in our songs that people saw that wanted to record. I still get that feeling when anybody records one of our songs.
Yeah, I want to ask you that because I would imagine that for an artist that's like the highest form of praise.
It really is for us.
We just had Mary Black, who is a fabulous Irish singer.
Oh, I love Mary Black.
She just recorded a song that's been around for a long time called "Don't Let Me Come Home a Stranger." And I think she probably heard it from Tim and Molly O'Brien. Do you know the O'Brien siblings? they did a record and recorded that a long time ago. And I think that's where Mary got it from. But I mean, all of a sudden, you get these phone calls out of the blue or notices or whatever, and it's just such a thrill to think that somebody that you admire and whose music is so seemingly special would choose something that you've written is, as Robin said, it's a real honor and a real thrill.
And it, as I said also, it never gets old, that feeling of people liking the songs that we write. And like I said, that's not why we write them. We don't write them so that people will record them. We just, at this point in our lives, this is one of the most important things that we do creatively, is to write songs. And so there's a wealth of material that we can write about. We just, our problem is getting enough time to write about them. Yeah. But
She said we'd never gotten very far from our roots, and we haven't. I thought about maybe doing Maybelle.
That's great.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
We went to the Country Music Hall of Fame a few years ago. Of course, we had used to live in Nashville, so we've been there years and years ago. But they have a new museum.
Spectacular
museum. But it's all the same old stuff, the history, the clothes and the cars and little snippets of paper where people started famous songs there at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge. But there was We came away just being totally in awe of getting to see Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass music, who's just an icon, of course, to us and so many others. His mandolin that he recorded all his material on, or you know, most of his material on, an old 1923 Lloyd Lore Gibson mandolin, an F5, and then Maybelle Carter, Mother Maybelle Carter's L5, big old archtop Gibson guitar, and you know, she changed, you know, she played guitar like nobody played, and both those people just radically changed music and then gave so much to the rest of us, the people like us who were so inspired. So we were taken away with it and wrote this song here. I saw silver spangled cowboy hats and gold-plated Cadillacs at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Stuff that once was Willie's, Hanks and Webb's and Kitty's, and all the stars we know by their first name. But the one display that took my breath away was Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin, standing there together like they were next of kin. Lord Gibson's from the past, side by side behind the glass, Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin. Well, now Bill found his in a barbershop. He knew from the first chop he could make that F5 ring. And Miss Carter's fingers came alive when she played that big L5. Her hand looked like a threshing machine. Bill, fine and true, up in Kalamazoo, it was Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin, standing there together like they were next of kin. Lord Gibson's from the past, side by side behind the glass, Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin. Clinch Mountain Girl and the Bluegrass Boy, well, they sure made a lot of noise with those old arch tops in their hands. Before the glamour and the glitz, they were making hits way back when the story first began. Before the nudie suits and the flashy cowboy boots, there was Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin, standing there together like they were next of kin. Lord Gibson's from the past, side by side behind the glass, Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin, standing there together like they were next of kin. Lord Gibson's from the past, side by side behind the glass, Maybelle's guitar and Monroe's mandolin.
Wow, I just got an essence of your brilliance with this song, because here I am standing just a few feet away from you, and that was a moment. That was a moment that you wrote a song about that swept you off your feet,
right.
And in that song, somehow you just connected the generations, and there was a bit of history in there. I thought
exactly what it swept us off of our feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, of all that stuff in that museum that day, that one little display with those two instruments and what it meant to us, it just
gave
unexplainable.
Chill bumps. And, you
know, I got chill bumps listening.
The Holy Grail, you know.
Yeah, the Holy Grail, right.
Well, this is great of you to have music like ours on your radio station. It's just great.
Yeah, I love to have live artists in the artists in the studio playing live, and all kinds of music we have coming through.
Yeah,
and this is a wonderful opportunity.
We listened on gosh, when did we land? We landed on Thursday.
Yeah,
is
we
that
could
right?
go. We could go yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, you've been here a week.
No, well, we've been driving around.
Oh, driving around.
Driving around. But we listened on the way out. We listened to the station on the way out, and then we've been listening on the way in. So it's Albuquerque's fortunate to have people like you that will have this kind of music supported. Thanks.
Yeah, it's eclectic, free form, which this show is.
That's great.
It's eclectic format.
That's
yeah,
great.
So I really thank you so much for coming by. And let's let folks know that once again, Linda and Robin Williams will be performing tomorrow night at Albuquerque's Biopark. Wonderful concert series this summer. Most summers it is. And it's just a beautiful spot. You can bring picnic
Great.
Dinner and sit on the grass, bring your own folding chairs or whatever, blankets. And it begins at 7 o'clock. It's 2601 Central Northwest. I think after you leave, I'm going to be able to take a look at my computer screen and find out about ticket information
okay.
and let folks know about that.
Or maybe you've got it somewhere around
the Well, I've got it somewhere.
But you're going to have to go scrambling for it.
I don't have the phone number.
I just don't have phone number on me. Yeah. So where do you go next?
Well, we'll go home, and then we'll be playing around the East Coast from, in the fall.
I guess we'll swing out. We'll get a couple weeks off, and then we're out in the in Virginia, North Carolina, and the Midwest, and
Bozeman, Montana.
So we're anywhere they'll have us play. You know what I'm saying?
We answer the phone, and that's what, and we go. And after all these years, Carol is still fun. The music is still fun. It really is.
And touring?
Well, the touring is actually fun, too. I mean, we had a great time this week, going up to Alamosa. And we got on a train in Alamosa and rode up to 9,500 feet and did a concert and then with all the people on the train. And then everybody got back on the train and went back down to Alamosa. We did that for 2 days. And then
what do you mean you took a train? What kind? A regular train?
A regular train.
It was
scenic train.
Scenic train.
Oh,
we actually
The Alamosa.
The Grand Rio. The Rio Grande Scenic Railroad, I think is what it's called. And we got to ride up in the club car from the city of New Orleans that, where Steve Goodman sat and got the inspiration to write that great train song. So it was pretty special, It was pretty special. Situation for us,
and then just being out here, being in the Southwest is always fun for us. It's such beautiful territory.
Connect with some friends, and
seeing some friends,
see some new country. We saw some beautiful new country. So.
Driving some roads we hadn't been on before, so it's a fun little trip.
So Linda and Robin have a brand new CD out called Back 40, and it's some tunes they've already recorded, but they put a new.
New spin on them.
New spin on
it's
them.
It's on Red House Records. All of our current records, our last five or six,
seven,
are on Red House
seven,
Records.
Yeah.
And
Red House Records has some amazing artists.
Yes,
they really do. Really
Lucy Kaplansky, great singer-songwriters.
Really?
John Gorka, Greg Brown, Rambling Jack Elliott.
Yeah. Eliza Gilkison.
Eliza Gilkison,
right.
Who's just
first
here recently.
First time we ever met her was out here in Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it was great. We a lot of these material on this record, most of the material, where we looked at it, and they were songs that we thought really stood up, hung together, and for some reason or another, in our past career, had gotten kind of a short shift, and we hadn't really been able to work them into the sets for some reason or another, and so we pulled them out. We pulled out several that had never been digitized. They were recorded on vinyl. Those big rig records with music on
That's
both
right.
sides, yeah, and so we got to bring some of that material back to the to the new century, and then we recorded.
Would you like us to play one more song to get us out of here? Or is that
go for
record?
It. Oh, I would love for you to. I didn't want to take advantage.
Yeah. What would you like to play, Robin?
Well, we're here. Why don't we do Boots of Spanish Leather?
All right. We of course did not write this song, but we recorded. It was 14 songs on the album. 11 of them are ones that we wrote, and 3 were we decided we would record songs from iconic figures in the early part of our lives, and people that we have just always listened to, and really never recorded any songs by, except one of them is Hank Williams, and we have recorded several Hank Williams songs, but. We had never recorded a Bob Dylan song, and we had never recorded a Joni Mitchell song. And we found this, we figured out this little arrangement of Boots of Spanish Leather, which is a Bob Dylan song, that, getting a little drink of water, that we do as a male-female duet. We think that's how Bob really meant for it to be done. I'm sailing away, my own true love. I'm sailing away in the morning. Is there something I can send you from across the sea? From the place where I'll be landing?
Well, there's nothing you can send me, my own true love. For there's nothing I wish to be owning. Just carry yourself back to me unspoiled from across that lonesome ocean.
Oh, but I just thought you might want something fine, made of silver or of golden, either from the mountains of Madrid or from the coast of Barcelona.
Oh, if I had the stars from the darkest night, or the pearls from the deepest ocean, I'd forsake them all for your sweet kiss, for that's all I wish to be owning.
Oh, but I might be gone for a long, long time, and it's only that I'm asking. Is there something I can send you to remember me by, to make the time more easy passing?
How can you ask me again? For it only brings me sorrow, the same thing that I'd want from you today, I would want again tomorrow. Some day it was from her ship a sailing, saying,
I don't know when I'll be coming back again. It depends on how I'm feeling.
If my love you must think that way, I can tell your mind is roaming. I can tell your heart is not with me, but with the country to where you're going. So take heed of the western wind. Take heed of the stormy weather. And yes, there is something you can send back to me.
Spanish boots of Spanish leather. Oh, and yes, there's something you can send back to me. Spanish boots of Spanish leather.
A beautiful arrangement of that
tune.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
And that's on the new release.
That's on the new release.
Yeah. Linda and Robin Williams, and Linda on banjo this afternoon, and Robin on guitar. You switch out and play guitar.
I play a little guitar too, yeah. We just we tuned up one of the guitars for that first song so we didn't have to untune and retune and, you know, drive everybody crazy.
Hey, thank you so much for coming
by. It's a great pleasure.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, thank you, thank
you. Great to talk to you.
And by the way, KUNM has a 2-week archives, and if you want to go back and listen to what has amounted to a mini concert that I'm so glad that we had in the studio. And thank you to Jeff. He's been with the video camera, has been shooting, and we're putting up, KUNM is putting up concerts that we have live in the studio on our website, kunm.org, and I think that's a really great thing. So look for that coming soon.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, and you mentioned Joni Mitchell, so I'm going to play now because I looked at the list. I hadn't heard the whole CD yet, and I see you have Urge for Going, which I absolutely love. So I figured
Urge for Going needed to have a Clawhammer banjo on it, you know, so that's my take on it.
I bet Joni never thought that.
I don't know.
But maybe she did.
I don't know. It's a great song, and I sure do love singing it.
Okay, I'm going to play that right now. This is Freeform on KUNM.
I woke today and found the frost perched on the ground. It hovered in a frozen sky and gobbled summer down. And when the sun turns traitor cold and all the trees are shivering in a naked road, get the urge for going, but I never seem to go. I had a man in summertime, he had summer colored skin, and not another girl in town my darling's heart could win. Them face down in the snow. He got the urge for going, and I had to let him go. He got the urge for going when the meadow grass is turning brown, and summertime was falling down, and winter's closing in. They give a cold, triumphant shout, and all that stays is dying now, and all that lives is getting out. See the geese in chevron flight, flapping and racing on before the snow. They got the urge for going, and they got the wings to go. Apply the fire with kindling and pull the blankets to my chin. I'll lock the vagrant winter out and bolt my wandering in. I'd like to call back summertime and have her stay for just another month or so. She got the urge for going, so I guess she'll have to go. And she got the urge for going when the meadow grass was turning brown, summertime was falling down, and winter was closing in. And I get the urge for going, the meadow grass is
has turned brown, and summertime has fallen down, and winter's closing in. And winter's closing in.